Hi, my name is Joe. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pride. Hi, guys. Pride has been called by C.S. Lewis the great sin, and he also called it the complete anti-God state of mind. It was pride that blinded me to truth, wisdom, and godliness, certainly relating to money. Professing to be wise, I became a fool. Romans 1:22. My pride permeated every area of my life to one degree or another. However, it was eventually manifested mostly in financially related self-will, arrogance, isolation, hiding from God, and lying to my wife about money. In the beginning of my regen experience, I thought my sin struggle was financial foolishness. That was only a manifestation. It was pride. Through my childhood and adolescence, everything came easily for me: school, athletics, relationships. However, at the end of eighth grade, I failed to win a school achievement award that I had desperately wanted and believed I deserved. It was a turning point in my life. While I maintained the right appearances, inwardly I was crushed. I became cynical about justice and apathetic about schoolwork. I did well enough to seem like I was doing fine, but nowhere close to achieving the excellence for which the Lord and my family had equipped me. In high school and college, I was following Jesus in name only. My awareness of him was always there. I just didn't want to be bothered with obedience. As a young banker new to Dallas, I came to a saving faith in Christ with certainty. I began to read the Bible for the first time in my life. Its truths seemed to jump off the pages at me, verse after verse, page after page. Almost immediately, I began to grow in relationship with the Lord. Confidence in him replaced personal insecurity. Calm replaced anxiety. Peaceful composure replaced false bravado. Joy, wholesome laughter, and hope were abundant. My formerly profane tongue ceased its ugliness. I married, and we developed a reputation of being a strong Christian couple. Unfortunately, early in our marriage, my wife told me that I wasn't measuring up. My perception was that I wasn't making enough money, so I began to borrow without her knowledge. It was a matter of allowing fear and pride to dictate my actions rather than godliness. 9 years into the marriage, it blew up on me when she filed for divorce, still not knowing how much money I had borrowed. Once again, I was crushed in spirit. Fortunately, a mentor couple guided me in responding to every stressful situation by trusting the Lord in everything. It was a humbling experience, but a healthy one, walking responsibly through the carnage. I experienced transparency and the peace of rekindled relationship with Jesus. A couple years later, I met my wife today, Ren. Only brevity of space and time keeps me from writing profusely about the blessings of Ren in my life for the last 25 years. I walked her through my debts and tax returns honestly and transparently. With Ren's encouragement and support, I repaid or settled all of my debts. I had been self-employed for several years early in our marriage, and it was a time of financial struggle for us. However, things began to turn around. We lived comfortably and were not incurring debt. 10 years into our marriage, we experienced a couple of fruitful professional transactions, providing what for us at the time was a substantial amount of money. Pride then once again blinded me to godliness and wise counsel. My self-will, arrogance, and hiding from God steered me in my own power to destruction. Though I understood the risks of what I was doing, Over the next few years, I began actively trading in highly speculative securities, foolishly trying to make my small fortune into a larger one. I didn't discuss this with my wife. My smugness and arrogance toward her were hurtful as she endeavored to be supportive and loving. Finally, after large losses, I confessed my sin to her. She was hurt deeply, but she was determined to respond in a Christ-honoring way. We sought active counsel for a year or so from a caring mentor couple in our community group. About that time, Wren attended a recovery ministry at Watermark. She would come home from the meeting so excited about what the Lord was doing in her life and the lives of those around her. I would celebrate with her and listen to her stories of grace, but I distinctly remember thinking, "Honey, I'm glad you're getting a lot out of that, but I certainly don't need to go." A few years later, my mother and father both died, leaving us, once again, a significant amount of money. Despite precautions from our counselors and our community group, with sincere assurances from me that this time it would be different, after a year or so of reasonable behavior, I succumbed to the voice of temptation. Eschewing wise counsel, I began again to trade erratically in derivatives and compounding foolishness with foolishness. I tried to manipulate the market for a thinly traded stock by excessive trading of that stock. The losses were great. It was a fool's errand executed by a fool. I confessed my sin to Wren on Labor Day morning 2013. She was stunned. The first thing she said was, "Tonight, you are going to regen." Guess what? Guess what? That night I was at regen. I was uneasy about attending, but I knew I had failed my wife terribly, and the last thing I wanted was to lose her. So I knew in my heart I was sentenced to a year in regen. At least that was my thinking. Still, there was something about the hope in the voices during the worship service. There were 20 or so of us first-timers that night, and the leader greeted us with sincerity and friendliness and shared a bit of his story of God's grace in his life. He had an air about him that caused me to think, this is a good thing. Thus began the journey. I remember thinking the groundwork workbook was simple, but soon it occurred to me that there is nothing as simple as the gospel and the story of God's love. And there is nothing as simplistically beautiful as Jesus, the Lord of heaven, wanting a relationship with each of us. He says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me." The Holy Spirit showed me thereafter to use the workbooks as a worshipful experience. No matter how simple the listed prayer for a given day seemed, I began to pray those prayers sincerely to my Heavenly Father. Simple words, simple faith, simple love. And on the altar of that simplicity, my pride began to be sacrificed daily. Our step group began with guys earnestly seeking God. Christ was in the center of our lives, and nothing else mattered. I have never felt a closer kinship to any group, anywhere, anytime. Our two leaders were rich with experience and godly wisdom. They became part of us as well as leading us. I was, as always, the elder statesman, but the group never, with all my younger counterparts, I never felt anything but accepted. One thing that has been difficult for me is confessing my sins to someone else. it has been relatively easy for me to go before God, confess my sins, and ask His forgiveness. The more readily I acknowledge my sin to Him, the more readily He allows me to move on forgiven. However, James 5:16a states, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." My life experience praying with others for others has generally been limited to Aunt So-and-so's health or little Bobby is struggling with school. In our Regen Step group, real, raw life and sin were shared openly with each other, and earnest prayers were lifted up for each other. I didn't begin to comprehend the pain I had caused Ren until I was going through Regen. She was living, in effect, in the rubble of the bomb blast of my sins. There was the betrayal of her trust a second time. My adultery, rather than with another woman, was with pride, arrogance, self-will, and hiding from God. But it was as easily just as painful for my wife. Then there was the pain, not just of the deceit, but tangibly from the loss of substantial amounts of money and the consequential practical impact of that on our lives. Despite the losses, neither of us would choose to go back to the way things were, even if we could have the money back. According to Ren, the authenticity and honesty with which we relate is so much better. We weren't miserable before, but the deception was not good. I heartily concur. There's a concept we embrace called imperfect progress. Regen is not, figuratively speaking, the instantaneous waving of a magic wand for healing. Change and growth can be slow. Regen consistently shows the pathway to change, much like the Munchkins telling Dorothy to follow the yellow brick road. It's not an easy path by any means, but it is the path by all means. There has been a lot of healing that has needed to take place. A lot of change of heart and a change of mindset has also occurred. While I am penitent, forgiven, and have grown immeasurably, this time I realize daily, even moment by moment, that I am fully capable of any sin. Paul wrote in Romans 7:15, "For that which I am doing, I do not understand. I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate." Every day I know that tension between the Spirit of God on the one hand and the willful pull of the flesh on the other. The characterization in Scripture of we believers as sheep is brilliantly accurate. Like sheep, we are obstinate and helpless. Obstinate in that even knowing we are helpless, we desperately want to go our own way. My role in Regen now is primarily meeting with groundwork groups. I'm encouraged every time by the fact that the Lord has brought those to groundwork that He has. I always tell them that each of them is an answered prayer because many have been praying that day for them to get here. It is always encouraging for me to hear the struggles that they share. Encouraging not because they are struggling, but because they have come to a place in the world where they can readily meet the great physician along with others transparently seeking Him. It has been a joy for me to play a small part in keeping these men encouraged until a step group can open up for them. The growth that I get to observe, the fears overcome, the determination shown, the confusion cleared up, and the joy taking root in these lives is something that I would hate to be without. In conclusion, if I could tell you one thing tonight, it would be welcome. The grace of Jesus Christ is immeasurable. If you know him as Savior, rest assured that his desire is to have a meaningful relationship with you. Don't be afraid of him. He requires obedience, but he is full of forgiveness. If you don't know him, he is ready to extend his grace to you for all of eternity. If you will continue in regen, I believe that you will look back someday upon this as one of the great experiences of your life. My name is Joe. I have a new life in Christ. I'm recovering from pride, and I give God all the glory for what he's done in my life. Thank you.